All right, back to more serious things. We are now in our 14th week of the God story, which is actually an attempt to look at the big picture of God, not the details. And so you have probably noticed that we have rushed through large chunks of scriptures. But it's like having a bird's eye view of the story of God and his people. And actually, the next two Sundays will be our last weeks in the Old Testament. So Joel this week, and Ryan will be speaking on Isaiah next week. And then we actually have 19 weeks in the Gospel of Luke, where we will be following the life of Christ. But this week, we're into the prophet Joel. Now, the prophet Joel tells us a story about relationships. And this is a story that is actually as old as time and yet very worthwhile for reflection during this Advent season. Let us pray together before we start. Lord God, would you touch our hearts, our minds, and our lives during this Advent season? You are the one who knows the ways that each of us and we as a community need that. So we entrust ourselves into your care. Amen. They had grown so far apart. The silence between them was almost complete. No words nor actions could any longer bridge the depth of that gap. It had been so different in the beginning. There had been such closeness, intimacy, and love given and received. Yes, there had been moments, because what relationship doesn't have moments? But the closeness and care had overcome those moments. They had what everybody around them said was an ideal relationship. Not just love, but respect, support, help. And they talked about everything. Who knows when the first cracks, small as they were, started to develop? Why, after all, would one of them seek another relationship when they had one that all envied? Yet it happened. Boredom, desire for something new, the excitement of trying something different. Just the mere thought of trying something new was somehow exciting. Perhaps it was that they had increasingly had less time together, communication between them growing less and less. There were plenty of other options out there, so why not try one? There is a certain thrill in trying something new. The old and the familiar just doesn't seem as good anymore. Mind you, they had not set out to leave. You know how it happens. One day you catch yourself imagining, what would it be like? Just thinking about it had a certain excitement, the forbidden. Then you catch yourself doing more than imagining. You catch yourself looking and watching for something new. Or for someone else? Could it be better? Then the thinking and looking turns into action, excuses for growing silence and absences. The distance grows. The new relationship was wonderful, freedom from all the constraints of the old relationship. You had gotten tired of all the work the old relationship took. This felt much less demanding and much better for you. Yes, there was some sorrow and sense of loss, but not enough to make you doubt that change was good. After all, there were your needs to think of. And faithfulness could be highly overrated. Then, out of the blue, you must return to me or else. What? I beg your pardon, who are you to demand anything of me? You must or else. I don't think so. Who, after all, gave you the right to demand anything of me? I hate demands. I hate musts. I hate or else's. Besides, demands seem a mighty poor way to restore a relationship that is fractured. It seems more guaranteed to increase the distance. So why the demands? Because in any relationship, there is a point of no return, where there is not enough left to rebuild. There seems nothing left to go back to. Yet your first love says, "It is not too late. I know you have found other loves, but come back or else." If you are me, you ask, okay, what's the or else? Come on, name the risk and the punishment. And your anger grows at the very thought. But there's a surprise. The or else is that there is danger out there. There is danger for you out there. The or else is about care for you. There's harm out there in so much of what tempts you. The deep longing of your first love's heart is that you not be harmed or destroyed. It is not too late. But let us be clear, your first love says, that when you come back, you must come back and really mean it. Come back with sorrow and tears for what you have done to our relationship, for you have harmed it with your distance, and that cannot be ignored. Come back and change. This is not just about moving back home. It's about a change of heart. Really come back to me. Come back to the one who loves you, not for what they can get from you, but for what they can give you, their love. Even now, with the silence that has grown between us, it is still possible. Your first love waits with patience, with worry, and an understanding of the danger you are in. Your first love, after all, is kind and patient and merciful and takes a deep breath and puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love and always ready to cancel distance, this God awaits your return. Advent is a time of preparing, of turning again to God in fresh ways to renew the relationship. And if we take the human analogy that I have been using, it is a time for a second honeymoon. And what does God give us in return? He pours out the very Spirit of God upon us. The Spirit that is poured out on sons and daughters, on men and women, on older and younger, and even on slaves. This is a God who gives not with grinchiness or with hesitation, but with huge generosity. This God, who longs to be our first love and only love, gives to all. Even now, return and be my people. This is the story from Joel, and much worthy of reflection in this Advent season. Amen.